forward. Amen. We had Festus and Cain was brought. Sunday was the great dilemma. And we asked you to take notes or something that spoke out to you or something that you want to share. And my wife's going to be using the PowerPoint upstairs, so she's going to start tonight, so I'll let her start first. Hallelujah.
Moving forward, the great dilemma. So, we've all faced situations where we felt boxed in or there appears to be no way out. And on this past Sunday, we were provided with tidbits of information on how to get out of that stuff, okay? So the first point that was brought to our attention was, go where God leads you to go. The good news is that God never leaves us. He always goes before us. Secondly, do what God tells you to do. Will you run or will you surrender to Him? Do not panic. Be strong and confident in the Lord, and He will show you the way. Thirdly, believe what God says He will do. Believe it. When you face your Red Sea, you march forward. It's called Exodusology. Remember that word? That's a new word. God is in control of all things in our life.
Thank you, Jeff. Who else has something they want to share? So, since I give my life to Christ, a newer Christian, it's hard to know when the Lord is speaking to you because it's not an audible voice. And it's difficult. And it's difficult for many. And the Lord speaks to you more than what you think He does. You just got to listen. And I think I listen a lot, but I don't listen as much as I think I listen. Because He speaks to me, and I think, is it really God speaking to me? And I don't want to do it, and a lot of people don't want to admit it, but they don't want to do it because they don't want to be wrong. And nobody wants to be wrong about anything. So what I'm telling you is what I've learned in the last year is when you feel that tugging inside and somebody, and the Lord is telling you to encourage somebody or give somebody a word of encouragement, give it to them. Because that might be what they need to get to the next level. And that's what I had to share. Amen. Who else? You don't have to stand up here. You can sit your seat if there's something in your heart or a question or thought. You can sit right there.
It wasn't a lot, but it was go, do, believe. For God fights for you. Walk then in that freedom.
Amen. Go do and believe, right? No.
Thanks. As I've studied that more, the people, when Moses sent the 12 out to seek out, see what's going on, right? And they came back, and the majority of them gave a bad report. Well, when Joshua took over, and when he went over there, Rahab, I think that's her name, the harlot, right, told them that they knew about those people who came across the Red Sea and their God parted the Red Sea and how he destroyed the Egyptians and stuff. Well, they actually weren't afraid. But when he got that bad report, Moses didn't have him go in and take over. They could have took it out with no warfare because the people was afraid of them from what they heard. You know, so what I'm trying to tell you is don't worry about what other people might say or what they might say about you or whatever. You're more than a conqueror in Jesus Christ. More so than you ever think. You know? Hold your head up, give God praise, and do what He says. And what He says for us to do. We overcome the world by the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony. Just share the love of Jesus Christ with people and what He's done for you. And whether you think it or not, my wife knows there was a young man who came to us back when we lived on Wood Street. And I've been seeing that boy for years. And he came to me and he said, Bush. I said, yeah. He said, well, you told me about the Lord one time. He said, I was in a real rough place and I remember what you said. He said, and I accepted Christ that night. And he said, God delivered me from drugs and alcohol. Well, the thing I'm getting at is, even though I haven't seen that guy here, he remembered what was said to him. Okay? And by what was said to him is why he accepted Christ, even though he wasn't around him. And what I'm telling you is, your word is more powerful than what you think. So don't never be shy or intimidated to share your faith with somebody, because it can and it will change a lot. Right.
Thank you. Anybody else? Prophecy? Saul?
There to help. And Isaiah chapter 41,
Verse number 10. He says, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will hold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Behold, all they that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing, and they that strive with thee shall perish. Thou shalt seek them and shalt not find them, even them that contended with thee. They that war against thee shall be as nothing, and as a thing of naught. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, Fear not, I will help thee." You know, when we're reading this word, we've got to digest this word. We've got to get it inside of us. Because the adversary is going to come many different directions. Amen. But we have the help of the Lord. Amen. He's our very present help in time of need. Amen. So with the help comes the hope. The Lord reminded me in Acts chapter 23, the Apostle Paul. You know, the Word of God tells us without vision people perish. What has God spoken to you? What has God said unto you? Even though you have not seen it, even though it may seem like it's a dead thing, and it doesn't seem like there's any hope, what did God say? See, Apostle Paul has a whole army that's trying to kill him. But in Acts chapter 23, verse number 11, Jesus had said to Paul, "Be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome." In other words, no matter what was happening there, Paul had to go to Rome because God said he would. It didn't look like it. It didn't seem like it. It seemed like he was going to be killed. Amen? But where did he word that Paul ended up? And what was he doing? He was testifying to Jesus. He was fulfilling the word. Amen? So don't forget what the Lord has said. First, to be strong. Secondly, not just to be strong, but to be still. You know, we have a problem as children of God. Hello? We have a problem of being still. Well, Pastor, he said, "Ask and ye shall receive, seek and ye shall find, knock and door shall be opened." We have aggressive praying. God said, "I wanted to answer you so many times, but you just wouldn't shut up and let me." I don't know about you, but if I was asking mom and dad for something, I wanted to wait to hear what they had to say. Amen? He said, "Anybody but me?" You know, I believe the Holy Spirit had us sing that song, "Here I Am Waiting," tonight. "Abide in me, I pray. Here I am longing for you. Hide me in your love. Bring me to my need. For I need to know Jesus more and more." Amen? Amen? So as we're looking at this, we're looking at it to be still. Takes for us to listen. Job 37. Verse number 14. It's speaking about considering the wondrous works, not forgetting about what God has already done. Amen? Being grateful. In verse number 14, he says, "Hearken unto this, O Job. Stand still and consider the wondrous works of God. Dost thou know? When God disposed them, he caused the light of his cloud to shine. I was kind of interested. I was looking at that, and we have the children of Israel. They're coming out of Egypt. Amen. They're in that place. They're in that great dilemma of being at the Red Sea, and there's no way to escape. And there's a cloud that's dark on one side and it's light on the other side. The children of Israel could see, and the Egyptians couldn't. That's kind of interesting, right? Have you ever seen a cloud that's a two-sided cloud? Amen? That it's dark on one side of the cloud. You would say, well, the sun's on the other side of the cloud. No, it said the cloud shone on one side and it was dark on the other side. Amen? So when you see this in the glory cloud of the Lord, amen? I think of one guard, I think that they were, well, I'm not going to try to guess that the Egyptians were. And I'll just stick with the Lord of Sin and with the Holy Spirit. Amen. What was he? He was a cloud by day and fire by night. So on one side was the cloud, the other side was the fire. Amen? When we say these things and speak these things, let's think about it a minute. What are we in the children of God asking for when we're asking, Lord, let's fire all this place, Lord? What are we looking for?
A fireball.
A fireball?
Glory to God.
Glory to God? What the Lord says to me, when the fire falls, there's a transformation of people. Everybody's looking for a feel-good situation. Let me feel good. We have a touchy-feely generation. Amen? When God's Lord, His fire falls, what is His fire? His fire is a purifying fire. Amen? Amen. Read about it in the Word. It purifies. It sets us apart. It cleanses us. It washes us. It's the presence of God. Amen. I don't know about you, but I'm not in the presence of God. There's things that change. You know what changes? He doesn't make me feel like I don't have value or don't have worth, but He always shows me something I can work on. Ever learning. Growing. Amen. You know, it was just like this week, today, the Lord was speaking to me about having compassion and feeling what other people were going through. And some of the liberties we have that we take for advantage, for granted. You're right. That we take for granted. The liberty to be able to go where we want to. But those ones that are held down, they can't. Amen? Maybe we'll take it on a point to visit them and check in on them.
That's right.
And I'm not saying do that to me because God just told me out. I'm saying that everybody knows somebody that's told me out. And the Lord places somebody that's told me out in your heart. At least you don't like your phone and communicate with them and talk to them. Amen? Let them know that they're valuable work. But sometimes when people get to that place, they don't feel that they have any value or they don't have any work anymore. Amen? I don't know about you, but I've kind of discovered and hard-headed and some things I have to learn the hard way because I didn't take the easy way. All right? Or is that just me here or is there anyone else in the congregation like that? Hallelujah. Amen. So he says to us to listen, to learn. And Psalms 46, verse number 10, he said, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. So we're looking at to be strong, to be still, to be saved. He spoke about for the children of Israel to witness the salvation of the Lord. He saved them from their dilemma. He saved them from their circumstance and situation that they were in, where there looked like there was no hope or no way. And Psalm 27:1, to be saved is first the trust. Psalm 27. The Word of God says in verse number 1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing I have a desire of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, and behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion, and the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me, and he shall set me upon a rock, on Christ the solid rock. Amen. Praise God. So we speak about the triumph here in Isaiah chapter 25. The word says, and it shall be said in that day, verse 9, lo, this is our God, we have waited for him, and he will save us. This is the Lord, we have waited for him, and we will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. Amen. So with this, God wants us to be secure. And in Exodus chapter 14, back to our text, in verse number 14. The Word of God says, the Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. And in other words, we can't allow the adversary and the storms of life to steal our peace. That's his holy thing. Because once he steals our peace, then he can turn us into a mess. Amen? And all of a sudden, then we begin stressing and worrying over things that we had no business dealing with, but they never were ours to begin with. In other words, we gave it to the Lord. And we said, not my mind, nor my power, but my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. So we're depending on him to do it for us. And I have here in Jonah chapter 1, we find to provide a way. To me, when I'm looking at this, I see the first submarine. Amen. God said, go where I say to go, do what I say to do, and believe what I said I will do. Amen. Jonah was called to go to Nineveh. Jonah rebelled and went a different way. Jonah was cast out of the ship into the sea where he was lost. And verse 17, God provided transportation for Jonah in a big fish to go to Nineveh. Come on now. Wait a minute. We saw God divide the Red Sea. That Red Sea, come on. That Red Sea where the waters were 250 feet deep. That was 10 to 15 miles long. It wasn't just a little thing they did. It was a big endeavor that took place. And I got hard to see for 3 million people to cross that sea. God called Jonah to go to Nineveh. Jonah was rebelling against the Lord, but he answered the call. He didn't answer the call until he got out of the belly of the fish. What? And that the circumstance changed his mind, did it not? And it says, and now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the Can you live without air for 3 days and three nights? That's what I said. It's the first summary. It's just looked like a fish. God's the creator of all things. My summary, ready? Now don't misquote me. I'm not calling it a summary. Don't say, oh, pastor's speaking out of the... No. But I'm saying, if God wanted to make it a summary, he could have been one way. We didn't say it was a way. I said it was a big fish. They all said, go to the way. I don't see that. My boy, it was a big fish. Could have been a mess. That would be a big one.
Little bird.
Huh? What?
Little bird.
So he says to us here to produce, he to provide to produce, and reminded when the Apostle Paul and Silas was in an inner prison in Acts chapter 16, things begin to shake. And the Word of God says in verse 26, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loose. And what the Lord was saying to me is simply this: church, God is calling for us, a full circle church, to be strong, to stand strong, not to fear, to be still and to listen. Amen. As we're being still and listening, God will save us out of our dilemma. Amen. And he will secure us. Amen. Because he called you and appointed you for a time such as that. I don't know about you, but that makes me feel pretty good. Amen. That God always makes a way. When it doesn't, sometimes it doesn't seem to be any way. Amen. Amen. And guess what? With me, what I see when I read the Word and the miracles of God, he never did the way man thought he would do it. Right? In other words, so don't you think it's important as we're worshiping the Lord, we're gathering here on Sundays, and we're gathering here and we're worshiping, praising God, that we wait? That we be still? Amen? That we listen? Yeah, that we listen to what the Spirit of God has to say. And the Spirit of God doesn't always have to speak through someone. Somebody comes and say, well, we're waiting for someone to speak. Open your heart up and listen to what the Spirit of God has to say to you. He'll quicken your mortal body. You'll know it. And you know that you know that you know. Amen? Amen? So that's all said. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Can we just praise him a minute? Father, we're so grateful, Father God, for your love and your mercy and your grace, Father God. We're so grateful for your word, that, Father God, that you sent your word here to speak to our hearts and our lives, to accomplish something in each and every one of us, that you didn't leave anyone out, Father God. Somewhere, somehow, you spoke to every last one of us, Father God. Now may we meditate upon what you have spoken, may we meditate upon what you said, and may we put it to practice in our hearts and our lives. So Father God, I thank you, Father God, for all that you do. You know, your word says when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will stand against it. And sometimes we look at things one way, but you open the door for many other things, Father God. Just in my heart, I'm thankful for Gary Garth's life, Father God. And I'm thankful for the lives they administered to, Father God. But there's seeds in so many that he sowed. Father God, I pray that you breathe on those seeds. Water those seeds that they produce fruit. And that the fruit may remain in Jesus' name. Amen. Love them all. Thank you. Hallelujah.